I go hunting for these things in the very, very distant universe. Galaxies about 5 to 12 billion years in the past, in order to quantify what effect they are having on their host galaxy.
Explain to me this life cycle of a galaxy business, because I think we tend to think of them as almost eternal because the scale of change is so slow.
And we tend to think of our Milky Way as having always been our Milky Way. But in fact, when the Earth was formed, our Milky Way would have looked quite different. So the formation of galaxies is an open question. We understand what happens once galaxies get going. There's dark matter, and dark matter is what makes up most of the universe. And it is this thing that we cannot see, but it has just immense gravity. Right after the universe was formed, dark matter clumped together first, and then what we call baryons, or that's the atoms that you and I are familiar with, streamed into the center of these dark matter clumps and formed galaxies. It's kind of a chicken and the egg problem. We don't know what formed first, the first stars or the first galaxies or the first black holes. They all formed right around the same time. So a galaxy is a supermassive black hole at the center, and then billions or hundreds of billions of stars around that, and most of the mass of the galaxy is usually in gas. And this gas gets slowly consumed. This gas is essentially the life force for the galaxy. It is.
And what's the gas made up of?
Hydrogen, a little bit of helium, a little bit of oxygen and carbon, but mainly hydrogen, and it's cold hydrogen that can form stars.
You're dealing with stuff that's out in the universe,
yeah,
and it feels that it should be alien, but it's all just the building blocks of stuff that we have here on Earth.
Exactly.
I know that you recently presented a paper at the AAS in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
What was that about?
A new phenomenon called cold quasars. A quasar is the most active type of supermassive black hole, and it generally requires two massive galaxies just slamming into each other to produce it, because you have to funnel an immense, immense amount of gas to the center of the galaxy to feed this monster. And you see something that's called a red quasar, red because it is very dusty and very gas-rich. Red quasars live in train wreck galaxies that are just a mess because they've just merged with another galaxy. Right after this phase comes the blue quasar phase. And blue quasar phase, they are just a blue dot, because what has happened is that the winds have just blown out all of the surrounding gas and dust in the host galaxy. And so you are left with a feeding black hole. And cold quasars were this unexpected transition right between red and blue.
Were you looking at infrared maps of the universe when you came up with, oh, look, there's a transitional phase. We should call that a specific thing.
I first found these things back in 2017 and thought I was wrong because it was just so unexpected. And it took me several months of looking at the data to convince myself that it was not wrong, that it was in fact right.
What would you say is the larger project into which your research feeds?
My research is a part of trying to understand the story of our galaxy, trying to understand what is going to happen to galaxies, what causes galaxies to stop forming stars. We don't know. Why does gas stop forming stars? That gas should condense and rain down on galaxies and light up more star formation. We should not see dead galaxies, and yet we do. Why? We don't know. So my research is one tiny piece of this. I am trying to understand the role that supermassive black holes play in all of this, if they are the key to everything or if they matter ultimately very little. And part of my science is having to be okay with the fact that I'm never going to know the full story, that I'm only here for a second and I only get to contribute one piece of it, and I will never actually know the full way that the universe works. And when I think about that, it makes me really glad that I live in the time where I live in, when we know so much already.